now we're going to the presentation in front of the 2015 but before Mr. Milani continues with the presentation, I would refer the minister, Mr. Jokita, to talk to us and probably hand over to the minister so that we can continue our business. Our aim is that by 2 o'clock we should be able to be to have long finished so that we're able to be out of here. The minister also will be going back to the summit that she is attending after lunch. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. And honorable members. The DG, I mean the Deputy Minister as well as the DG and DDGs from the Department of Transport. I want to start, and this is actually a disclaimer that I don't have, but I have to do it, and apologize for arriving at this particular moment. We are hosting what is called the U.S. South Africa Aviation Forum, and that is why the DDG responsible for aviation is not amongst the team here, because we still also busy at that particular fund. But I also want to acknowledge the fact that we agreed with the Deputy Minister that she will make the opening remarks, and if possible I will come in and do the closing remarks. Unfortunately, I've been disadvantaged by not hearing the questions and the issues raised by the honorable members. But I want to once more, like we've always done, commit the Department and Ministry of Transport to full cooperation and active participation in matters related to the work of the Portfolio Committee. But I also would want to make a special plea, especially at an introductory level, to the members of the Portfolio Committee, that in our cooperation with the Portfolio Committee, we just ask your indulgence in understanding with regard to matters of the questions, Honorable Chairperson, that the members of the Portfolio Committee is always raised in relation to questions to Parliament, which at times have a provincial as well as a municipal responsibility, and that creates the delay that we have with regard to answering the questions. And the delay does not in any way indicate the non-compliance and not wanting to work together with the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, I would want to say before the work of this committee continues, one of the key things that we are focused with in this particular year as the department and ministry, it's matters related to transformation. The transformation of the transport sector in favor of women and especially the previously disadvantaged. But also transformation in making it possible that we improve the environment in which the people that are seen as laborers or the workforce in the transport sector, making it possible that their basic conditions of employment get improved. In this regard, I would want to raise a matter that I'm sure you have been faced with, and when I was here, the Deputy Minister was speaking to issues related to road safety. The issue related to the basic conditions of employment, in particular of truck drivers that I referred to the Department of Labor, because we believe that that is one area that actually also needs transformation. So the transformation is not only with regard to making sure that we increase the number of women in the sector that we are regulating and controlling, but also that we create an environment where they can have access to education and empowerment opportunities, but in particular also the opportunities for black previously disadvantaged people. The other matter that I would believe it is important for us to focus on in particular as a department is to make sure that when we speak to improving the lives of our people and making it possible that we can create an environment where transport is safe, secure and reliable we need to address the challenges that are faced by our rural communities. In this regard, you would know, Chairperson, that there has been work that we're doing with regard to Shova Kalula and the non-motorized transport in the rural areas. And we believe that the rural transportation system is one way in which we can create industries, we can create job opportunities for rural people to make sure that these particular things or modes or means of transportation are also addressed built in our own country. Chairperson, the other issue that I know has been a sore point is this issue related to scholar transport. Scholar transport becomes a sore point because of the conditions under which our children are being transported. Even those transportation that is procured by government, it is a serious concern to see the way in which unscrupulous operators have been able to rip off provinces and rip off our own Department of Transport and Education to make it possible that they can cash in with regard to transportation of our children. But also with regard to scholar transport, we've got another situation that prevails. Like, for example, in the rural areas, where the people who got buses end up being the only transport means. These people end up being the only transport means because the minibus taxis or the buses don't want to go to the rural areas because of the road condition. And if the road condition is bad, they believe that it damages their vehicles, it damages they cannot afford to sustain the service. In fact, I'm sitting with lots of letters from scholar transport operators in provinces who are saying that we need to make sure that the subsidy is increased to make it possible that it covers the loss and maintenance that they need to be able to address. One of the key things that we need to also note as members of the portfolio committee is that this year is the fifth year or the midterm of the UN Road Safety UN Decade of Road Action for Road Safety. And I want to actually be upfront here and indicate, Chairperson, that it is an indictment on us as South Africa that we will be reporting on road safety to the United Nations. But we are going to be presenting a fragmented report because we don't have a comprehensive network and approach to dealing with road safety. And I'm sure you have heard what the Deputy Minister said earlier on about road safety steps. That in itself made me to actually call on the RTMC to coordinate with the CSIR Access SA, as well as the Medical Research Council, the Department, as well as SAPS and Health and others, so that we can have the ability to have credible, I fear to call it statistics, to figures of the number of people that die on the roads of South Africa. We also believe, the Deputy Minister has referred to it, that the postmortems are done by the Department of Health, the Medical Services, and the Department of Health has committed itself through the WHO that they will be able to help us deal with the challenges related to the backlogs of driving under the influence. Because right now we have a huge backlog of driving under influence. The problem is that we don't have the evidence that might be lying in some blood sample that because of the length of time that they take to process and analyze the blood sample, they might be obsolete right now and might not produce a reliable indicator to realize a conviction out of it. But also it is important, Chairperson, to realize, in fact, as we speak, we've got a question of that nature, that we need to give the Parliament information on the related to the number of scholars who died on our roads. The issue raised by the Deputy Minister about the road tonnage or road fatalities not being notifiable is one of the areas. We don't have a system of differentiating the death per category of either unemployed, working, or this particular professional and all that. And we believe that we can only be able to give the age and the sex of the deceased person. As we speak, there was a crash that happened here in the Western Cape. 5 people burned out, and up until today, they're still trying to trace who these people are, because the registration number, as well as apparently the engine chassis, burned out, and they cannot be able to identify. And the person who survived is in a critical condition, unable to speak in the hospital. So people have been called on to come and identify the people. The other matter, Chairperson, the National Development Plan adjoins us to create a capable state. One of the key issues that we are focusing on as the transport fraternity is the capacity of the Department of Transport, together with the agencies and provinces and municipalities, to deliver transport in South Africa. That is policy, legislation, program, and everything else that is related to transportation South Africa. So these are the things that we believe we need to be able to address. The capacity, as we speak, we're sitting with vacancies at the most senior level, 4 DDG positions that are vacant. I, Deputy Minister, can actually say to you now that it is important that we accelerate that particular process. Chairperson, you raised last year, and we did indicate that we'll address it. We have addressed the vacancy rate, but not at the level at which it needs to be. At the executive level, which is the engine that needs to deliver, is where we need to be able to produce the necessary capacity. And it is an indictment also on myself and the Deputy Minister. The 2 senior women in the department that were there has now resigned. So we are back to square one in terms of gender representativity at the level of the department. And that is why you see what you see here, and with the sprinkling of the minister and deputy minister and the chief director responsible for strategy and planning. So it is important that we address this particular issue, equally so in the department. But the issue related to making it possible that as a department we can be responsive to creating the capable state that will make it possible that the people of South Africa for safe, reliable, efficient, and cost-efficient, but or affordable public transport and transport services broadly. Chairperson, as we speak, we were in a summit dealing with the support that we get internationally. How do we consolidate that so as to be able to realize maximum benefit for the capacity that we would need? We also believe that that capacity should not be the capacity for South Africa only. We live in the African continent, and South Africa is because the continent of Africa is. So it is important that we also consider our input as South Africa, or transport South Africa into the SADC region, but also into the continent before we even go globally. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I would believe that at the appropriate time I'll be able to answer the questions when they arrive.
Thank you, let's support the Minister. This is very informative. Let's continue the presentation. Thank you very much, Ms.
Thank you. Afternoon, take you from page 43, where as we said, it's now the beginning of the implementation of the initiative that articulated in the MCF, but also in the 3-year budget process, the MCF. The first strategic objective is to provide training support in corporate governance, under which we have 5 subjects over the MCF. The first one is to implement the integrated communications and marketing plan. The second one is to maintain a 10% vacancy rate. The third one is to implement the human resource development framework. Then the last two, one is to finalize and submit the international relations strategy for approval last week is to implement a system where we believe would help us with issues around management of performance beginning to deal with the growth of the dashboard. In 2015-16, those are set at the target, so just highlight the two. One is the issue of us really reducing the vacant rate. We currently have 21 vacant posts, and our intention and target is to reduce that to 86 vacant posts. And secondly, is effort to bring in 30 interns across the portfolio of transport. And last effort is to implement the international relations effort. The second strategic objective is ensure good governance and the sound control environment. This is therefore will respond to the questions raised about what happened to the AG issues last time. This is in what we're seeking to present with that. The first one is develop a monetization plan to address the audit findings. When we were in the committee last week, we indicated the amount of work is done and where we are and how we therefore are setting not only the audit, the AG's audit findings, but also our own internal audit unit. That also provides audit services that came across the department in the area that we do, but also therefore responded to the findings of the. So they are monitoring the things where we are. And as you said, that we almost completely responded and dealt with all the issues that were raised, including the issues that were raised in the commitment letter by the accounting officer. So we are making there's a plan. All we need to do is continue in doing that. The second one is to develop and monitor management. As I said earlier on, the environment we're in is an environment that we've got to continuously assess the risk. Of course, we've got both internal risk and risk that are outside that inform that have impact on the abuse of the department to do and to satisfaction. So we've got to have that. We therefore have what we call a risk register. Of course, we've identified strategic risk, the operational risk, and therefore we are putting in controls to deal with those risks. Of course, in areas where there are residual risks, where there's some level of inadequacy, we therefore deal with the residual risk as and when we can. But the assumption and what we've been doing is really making sure that both operational and strategic are adaptive and heavy and we'll be able to deal with it. I think therefore the enterprise architecture for approval, this is an ITS or TIS architecture for how we innovate. Remember we said we want to be one of the innovation departments, but it's an architecture that aid us in delivering and doing what we want to do as a department. The first strategic objective, facilitating integrated market transport system planning to guide investment in the sector. As you said, the NCSF objective is to submit the net neutrality to Parliament, submit the revised white paper the national transport policy to cabinet for approval, and then complete the transport infrastructure fund agreement. And the last two are, as a result of the work that we do, the assessment of the questions we do, we realize that there is a serious need to really look at the issue around infrastructure funding agreement, given the concurrence of funding between ourselves, but as to align the investment approach to align the funding approach. I mean, in the infrastructure space, let's take roads as an example. One of the that we are mesmerized by roads, but generally, as the reality of what we are faced with, is that you have money going to standard of a 12 billion a year, your money is going to the provincial roads the internet grant, the currency grant, which is on the top, which is about give or take 10, 11 billion rand a year. We then have the MNC grant. And those grants are scattered. They're not consolidated into one big grant. They necessitate us to be in a position to deal holistically with those. Municipalities in themselves are not available. So this framework begins to give us a sense of how we would give us how we then tackle those things. But the last one is the issue around the pricing framework. Many of us know that transport costs are one of the biggest impediments in how it's getting the economy or the wheels of the economy turning. Because some of the issues we want to look at is what translates to transport prices. Because majority of our prices and service are minimum prices because the other from a range of perspective. All that has been charged from 80 to 100 prices. And therefore the impact of administrative prices and the cost of thinking in the issues around this. So those are the issues that we're going to look at. And we firmly believe they'll help us still and come up with strategies and how we best deal with this thing. And therefore these are the targets that we would want to meet for the 2016 financial year. The fourth strategic objective is we want to promote national, regional, and community integration. This is the last point made by the Minister in input now. Around what role do we want to play a effect in regional and continental integration? And our view that there is a whole lot that this needs to be and this has to attend to. One of the planned activities, of course, is to talk about the up, but secondly, the issues around the roadway strategy. And that's why then we deal systematically with identified cargoes as to how we would want to plan moving those cargoes away from the roads onto the railway. The rest, therefore, is really finalizing and bringing the things that came as an economic regulation. And we want to in this one to bring the bill to cabinet, I mean sorry to parliament, but of course after cabinet has taken a view on the decision. And the private sector participation framework, this is about saying transport is a network industry in its nature is a monopoly industry. And that's the basis of from which we move. Given that government cannot alone deal or move the amount of cargo that we need, and there are certain areas and elements that could and should be the private sector. That's the best thing. But secondly, is creating an environment that's conducive and that provides certainty. So that's the purpose of the framework, and that's what the framework is seeking to do, and that's what we are working on. To develop so that private sector facilitation indeed in and out in the transport space. Across the portfolio, whether you talk about roads, whether you talk about railways, whether you talk about ports, whether you talk about regulation. So that's what we believe. And then lastly is how we begin to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. As we said, we'll develop the green transport strategy and public government approval. And that's what we will be doing over the MTS of Kiros. And then, of course, to the question asked, why 2018? Next year we are putting in a green transport strategy to look at. Indeed, consultations with any of the other sector departments that are key in that space will be in. Not only are we looking at the green transport strategy, some of the elements involved in this about and that's the work we did with the economic initiative is how do we reduce dependency on fossil fuel? How do we reduce consumption from a transport perspective using alternative energy? And that's just expressed by sort of one of the elements of the transport strategy. The sixth strategic objective is how we then enhance performance efficiency and reliability of the channel. These are what, in our view, we believe we will be doing over the NCF period, planning to develop the national railway deal as well as the national railway strategy, develop the migration plan, of course, as part of dealing with issues around economic regulation, is the migration plan to migrate the internal rail economic regulation capacity. Realizing the current institutional challenges between transport and CPE, the two ministers agreed on the establishment of an interim railway economic regulation. The biggest challenge is that access to the railways is a challenge if indeed we want to deal with the shift. And therefore, we are chartered as the owner of the infrastructure as an operator. And our view is if we want to provide opportunities for other people to come in, you've got to establish some form of a partly economic regulation that overlooks and sees and manages the issue around railway operation. So of course this is one joint business side and CCD. And then we want to submit the branch line strategy for approval. Part of the TSP framework is how we will bring the private sector to operate on the branch line. So that's why our view is we want to begin bringing the private sector to operate on the branch line. Because on the main line, of course, there's massive investment that's something to put in. But of course, the inter-railway regulation capacity will oversee issues on access. Because in some instances, we open for the branch line, for main line, for branch line. There were the issues of access must be managed for. Now, the economic railway capacity is needed to do. But as part of the TST, is that you first target branch lines operation and then you start to access investment. So that's what the North submits the railway safe regulation amendment bill to Parliament. We are wanting to amend the railway safe regulation bill for a number of reasons, but key amendments around how you deal with issues of the development of regulation, one, part two, the issues around funding of the regulation, because one of the biggest challenges we have is the funding of the railway safe regulation. And lastly, is to submit the National Railway Safety Regulatory Statute. I have that done in the full control. You that many of us would appreciate that a number of accidents on the railways happened at railway crossing. And therefore, how you deal with railway crossing, the National Railway Safety Strategy will look at those elements and how we help. The seventh strategic objective ensure a sustainable transport infrastructure. As I said earlier on, the key to a sustainable transport infrastructure network is first expanding, second is development, and lastly its ability to be maintained. And that's how we don't do that. We are looking at submitting the white paper on the road transport policy and what's happening. And then in the year coming, we will be developing a treaty on this. Oversee, monitor, and construct national and provincial alignment budgets. This is therefore talking to the key the currency grant, which is the Canada Central Bank. But one of the things we're bringing in this year is how we deal with the issue of access roads. So what must understand, currently access roads are funded in public works, at present, constitutionally are funded in public works. One of the things we want you to do is how we bring that in line with what we're seeking to do. Those are some of the, as I said earlier, on some of the constitutional challenges that we have as a set. So we want to create that environment where we say how do we deal collectively with issues around access to programs and important issues. The cabinet must provide a policy decision on where and how we join ourselves in public works data. Second related to that is the issue around the need for road infrastructure. I mean, I can't sort of emphasize that this is our biggest challenge in our activism, something that we need to deal with and something that we are looking to deal with. And of course, we would want to make sure going forward, the work that we just started in National Center, continuing on how best we come up with money, how best we deal with money. And then regulating enhanced transport safety and security, the issue of the submission of the Act for Amendment Bill to Parliament and rollout implementation. We will be submitting the amendment bill to Cabinet this year, and it's part of the three pages of legislation that will be in conference coming to the Parliament in the coming year. Again, in how we enhance performance and efficiency and reliability of the sector, we are looking at submitting some of the key pieces of legislation. On the aviation side, we would want to submit ACTA and the agency amendment bills to time, so that we do not overload, as was raised last week, the last years of this administration with this panel. So it's to make sure that in reality, in the amount of pieces of legislation that we did within the last week. And as it learned, that some of these pieces of legislation were done, have been done long time ago, and therefore there are certain areas, and sometimes there are unintended consequences that we never foresaw at the time that we need to deal with now. Those are some of the issues that we want to do. We are now finalizing the National Civil Aviation Policy, which is earlier on the issue around the white paper. And then Honorable Tupande has left the issue around the scripts and the set costs, the question asked earlier on. The National Airport Development Plan is the plan to save all airports, aerodromes, ships are now going to be put onto a system where we know and then provide standards for certain things. I mean, there are trips that we just don't know where they are. But it's just not interesting. I mean, those of you who stay around the campus, you see where you drive on the M14, and the elements are going live. And it ought not to be done. They get a proper system. So those are the things that you're looking to do this for. Then lastly, is therefore the implementation of the Amasuku decision. This decision that was adopted in 2009, but of course the decision that seems to be the issue we miss a talk to that, but Africa is because Africa is. It's about the immigration of Mexico, and they have to be as Africans first, interested in how we help each other to develop in this country. And then the following are the other issues that you would want to submit. One is the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, but two is to take corrective action on the general quality findings in relation to safety. Therefore, some of the odd findings will lead to us developing some institutions like the investigations and the accidents, because it's kind of now performed under CAA. And the IDEO has given us an audit on that. We've got to separate the economy regulatory function and some of the safety functions. So that's what we're dealing with. Monitoring the upgrading of the entire airport. And the last is to deal with what we haven't seen chapter 2 aircraft that lead to their useful life and that are the details. So how we deal with them and to move them on the environment when the operating state becomes an important. And the management how we enhance performance efficiency and the bit of the sector. We are intending to submit the white paper on maritime transport policy to Parliament. But of course, we are going to be submitting in this year the green paper, the Cabinet for consideration and approval for us, therefore, for passing and bringing the final supply to Second, we want to submit and develop what we call cabotage policy. Remember, I said cabotage policy is maybe the policy that focuses may be catalyst in China's ownership of ships by South Africa. So that's what you are deducting radical suspension one. You submit that to the cabinet, submit the deal at the same time. And then the other issue for maritime in how we regulate and seek to enhance strategies and security. It brings the amendments of the merchant shipping bill to Parliament, as the Deputy Minister raised here on the Merchant Shipping Act of the Act of 1973. And therefore, it was good at the time, and the number of conventions that were coming. We sought to amend, but also bring a regulation. And now, to say, holistically, how do we deal with the issue around the Merchant Shipping Act in relation to what we ought to do now? And respond to a number of issues including operation practices. As well as we want to implement recommendations coming from the more court finding trying to ensure that South Africa is ready for the mandatory audit by the International Maritime Organization. And then lastly we should submit the inland waterway strategy department. The Honourable Michelle raised the issue in my question. The message delay because for a number of reasons, but key to it is that one of the things is that our rivers are not marketable ones, but two, the issues around regulation of dams, and you know, that was where the feature was. So of course, not only the people who own ships and the ones who get there and go on the sort of minute. So I think for one of the key things is now we're doing this in better movement. And lastly, the implementation of the African Maritime Charter. From a public transport perspective, we want to provide integrated road transport infrastructure and services. We are going to be putting before cabinet the road transport structure that will deal with a whole number of issues that have been raised, challenges. Issues of access, provision of infrastructure, but also the and then we are also looking at developing plans, IPM plans for a number of districts. As we said, the plans are going to be a fit-for-purpose plan because we do not want to not necessarily go full multi, but put the full multi concept of provision of service. For that purpose, of course, to be informed by the studies that we have already conducted. That means, of course, the finalized national transport to cabinet, and then deal with the challenges that have been raised by honorable members. This is the issue the minister has raised in the comments. I will promote sustainable public transport by intending to scrap 3,500 old taxis over the MTSO period for the targeting 1,100 taxis for the year coming. Submit the taxi return review and then lastly submit the interstate public transport turnaround plan to cabinet. The last three areas would be how we then, the strategic objective is improve public transport access and reliability. One is therefore how we plan over the MTSO period to implement that. It's really for full funded and monitor the IPTN into a sector where they can begin to inform us with gaps, what needs to be done, how we need to improve. What sort of areas we need to look at in investment. These are on funding the implementation following in the various of course, primarily with the funding, look at George and Alex Street, and how we then roll that out, look at the area via, and the rolling out of the RC, and the issue around my city, and so I think Matabata will talk to the issues of homestead and wine around this issue. We do respond and the current challenges faced by the traveling commuters around. And then lastly, regulate public transport. in terms of meeting the land transfer amendment bill to Parliament in the next year. And then in page 56, around resource consideration, our view is that the medium term, the volume consideration, resource consideration will be a part of the following area. One is, of course, as you said, maintenance of infrastructure. The assets we have, the old assets we have, we're moving out. And that will become important that we look at maintaining that. Upgrading of rail infrastructure, services, as you said, the massive investment program, et cetera, from the champions, successful champions from the apart. The very same investment is happening from far. We are now going to be investing over 57 billion banks in rail rolling stock. But also the current investments that are happening in anticipation of the rail stock that's coming. So those are some of the issues. And then the issue raised by the Honourable Minister about whether in the planning you consider the reductions that come through the budget process. Look at page 56 of the presentation, we'll give you proof of the budget process. These are the reality of what we face as implementation of the strategy of development of the network. And then we say the cabinet approach to that will also be effective over the medium term. And therefore, we therefore refer you to page 60 of the document that we have looked at how we are seeking to deal with that and making sure that indeed the questions you raise are generally the questions you raise, the questions that you also as the department has looked at and because we will need to take into account for the cost. Of course, it's a cut across all baselines. So that would be the reason for the table. On page 58, where we are dealing with the risk management, I really talked at length to this. But safe to say that the effectiveness of risk management control measures that we will be putting in place that is to establish the various structures that are key, that provide not only comfort but assurance. Because risk management committees like the AG, the internal audit, are the assurance structure in the department. So therefore, we are putting into a risk management committee. We also have risk taking. We also are going to discuss in a risk forum. So we are putting this structure so that we deal seriously with a whole of the hospital. As I said, transport is a better emergency. And therefore, those risks are either internal or external. And they have a strategic focus. And therefore, how we deal with and this committee will be checked by independent second, will report to ELSO, will report to the old committee. They have that interface between themselves and the audit team. Of course, the members of this committee will be appointed by the director. But of course, as we said, we want to maintain the independence. So internal audit will also be responsible for making sure that this committee performs the function and is going to be independent. The assessment in our view that ought to be looked at and detected by the accounting and the executive body. Then to long-term infrastructure and other plans, these therefore are some of the list of some of the projects that we are going to be involved in and are looking at over the MCSF period and the medium term central framework. So the first one is of course the model rate development project. We talked about it, but one of the things that we're busy with now is around the interim proclamation to then begin to the necessary plan and the work that are on page 61 is the preventive of development process, as I said. Seven is the anchor of the North South Corridor, and therefore the development of port, which is the land that was bought by Chapman from Accra for the development of the port in that area. So there's estimate of what the expansion, the big of course, would cost, about 13,500. As many of you know, that majority of our budget is in additional funds. This therefore the grants that we discuss on an annual basis. Public transport operations grant is about 4.9 billion. Public transport network grant is about 6 billion. Provincial government grant is about 9.8 billion. And the rural asset management system. One thing to do is that we are wanting to create a system that will give us incentives on where the roads are and how we can deal with some of the issues around rural assets, but also give us what is it and what we then need to invest in. So we bring up a system so that we know when we leave and wanting to invest in what is it that we are doing and where we get. And the following is a list of our public entities and the amount of money that we transfer on an annual basis to them. The passenger rail agent of South Africa on an annual basis is 18 billion. The railway rate rated about 53 million. The road traffic management about 100 million. The road traffic enforcement agency is about 11. The road accident fund, even though it's true and they remove anything around between 18 and 20 years of spending on the collection, on the monthly collection process. The annual average is around that. The South African National Road Agency is about 12.5. The Cross Border Road Transport Agency, the North Transfer. They make their money from the issuing of permits to cross-border operators. The Civil Aviation Authority was transferring the 20 million. Air traffic navigation service, nothing. The airport company was transferring nothing. South African Maritime Agency Authority, transferring nothing. But I know at some point we need to transfer around. Between 11 million a year, I think. And lastly is the court regulator of South Africa. And therefore, the last element that we probably will talk to are the public-private partnerships that we are getting involved in. So this is the last issue. Minister, PM, Chairman, and the public-private partnerships, and the intent to have Mulata Rail Corridor as one of our public-private partnerships. We were seeking to partner with the private sector. We now have undergone the normal surgery approval process. We registered the process. And we now currently at phase one of the approval process. Thank you, Honourable Chair. That's the story of the program.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bilani. Honourable Member, there we are. The presentation has been made. Are the papers, are the questions, are the inputs that you want to give to the department? I'm opening up for members to choose out, but I want to indicate that there is a connection between the long-term rent and this one, probably as going to be advised, because have the several issues that were raised earlier on. Maybe we can allow the department to talk to some of the issues that were raised in the MPSF issues. Any takers? Going go. Honourable Mushielo. Honourable Mushielo, Honourable Mlauzi, Honourable Humshinga, Honourable Takers.
I think for me, Chairperson, it will be more of a
comment or commendation more than anything, because I'm taking after this session. This is our document also. Okay. I think in terms of breaking the objective into the quarter target, you can see that there's a real problem there. I think one, but it just cut across. The public transport one on the provide integrated rural transport infrastructure and services. I'm just giving an example. On this provide integrated rural transport. We said earlier they had a rural transport strategy, 11, 12, up to 13, 14. It seems nothing like that. Also, this is what we did here. And then we come in 2014 with that is not a problem. But then, when you break it into quarters, when you review it as a department and the export, then you come on the first quarter and you should submit the reviewed rural strategy to export. Which is it yourself or what? So you sit down at the department to review and then, I don't know, you give it to consultants to review it for you and bring it back to you. Because these are some of the delays that we are worried about. Because then as you go into the details, that's where you see what the real challenges are. Quality was not helping the minister in the community. I'm not talking to this case. I'm just talking to you are just not helping the minister in the community. You're just not serving. You just answer. You can do this. And this is going to public documents, remember. And when it's criticized there, I can't say the department is me. I'm going to own this 100%. There's no we and them in us. But you can't put this kind of thing. Yeah. And I can go on. And then, minister, they want a bonus from me. When they achieved the first quarter of reviewing themselves. Exactly. And they want you to give them a bonus if they don't.
That's how you put
and when we are indicating to you before you even go in to write this, it shows you are not even taking our input seriously. So I don't know whether you are even taking this portfolio committee seriously. Because some of these inputs we try to show you to say, as you go into your structure, even in the study book, as you go into your structure, these are the things you should look at. And we're given the impression that people were taking notes and going through that. So if we take something like this to the public, I don't want to even think what will happen to us. I think colleagues, we must really be helpful.
Mm.
Yeah. I can go on. I can just go on. It's a great one. However, no matter how much you want to deny, lot of money was paid into the national fund. I was the chief director of public transport and I was taking the national fund. We even went live in all the 9 provinces and the national department one. The national freight database. You know, what did you do with it? And then we come here, you review it. The first quarter, you review it yourself. The second quarter, you do it different. I don't want to quote all of them. I'm just worried. It's the minister. I'm worried you're not taking help. You won't have the problem with the 4th issues that you have raised, the transformation issues, the rural transport issues, and every other thing. You're going to say it as they understand it. Because that's the vision of this government that you say it. But coming to the implementation, Chair, I'm just getting worse.
Von Laudi.
Thanks, President. I got as much that the plan for this financial year, it sounds very good. But I wanted maybe from page 65 of the public entities. When you said like the cross-border transport agency that they collect their own fees from the operator, last time they came here and made me presentation, they were very much worried about that because they said they don't have enough. So because they depend on the collection fee, how about if the department can do something to them? Even if they can give them 5 or 10 million for the price, because they are dealing with our work, which is a very important matter for them to make. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. You had the NEC member speaking. No way. I'm not a higher protection, right? Honorable Humfinger? Thank you, Honorable Jusator.
As we covered my previous call, is it colleagues, accepting for just one issue, and that is, again, my concern with rail. And I see it talks about national, the page 37, national railway bill.
Which page is that?
47.
Page 47.
It talks about a railway bill, and we might not, in the presentation statement, and also without going into detail, because we'd need a whole presentation from that alone, I would be interested to find sometime how this is going to be done with the hotspots which still have with Transnet. That's my only comment to all the other comments we've dealt with.
Shadow Minister, the Minister in the Republic did not hear what we are saying.
Now I know why
you're talking. Before she arrived, I spoke about, well, in the chair, I spoke about my concern with the use of our rail infrastructure under two different entities. And it was this tug of war, and I don't see it changing unless this resolves. So that's actually the context that I'm talking about. It's very encouraging that there is a plan for something called the National Rail Bill, but I don't see how to. How could be realistically implemented when you have a Transnet and a process fight over the same resources? Thank you so much.
Honorable Akhadere, let's welcome Honorable Ramaphosa, who is the Portfolio Committee of Police. You're welcome, Honorable. Honorable Akhadere.
Yes, sir. So, sir. I think my question is related to page 47.
Okay.
I had DDG when he was presenting the issue of the pressure strategy that also developed a framework of involving private partnership. I get worried when there's private partnership that probably, I don't know whether if you already for the challenges of the plan, how are they going to go, how are they going to contribute, and what are the limitations? Because I know private partnership normally wants to take advantage where they go to benefit more than contributing to the country's economy. I'm trying to check whether what do you prepared in curbing such when it rises, because in order to find our rail infrastructure being privatized, we don't want to find ourselves having challenges that when the private providers are here, they are the one that gives government instruction how they're supposed to operate those rates. We don't want such. I know, you know, we facing a particular challenge with this energy crisis where private business want to come in but they want to instruct government how they're supposed to operate within the planet. Can't be told by private providers, you know, this is what I'm bringing. Government, you must bring this law. It's us. These are infrastructure who must provide directions. So I'm worried about the direction that we're providing to the private providers. Yes, we allow them, let them come in, but up to how far they're going to impact us. Yes.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think earlier on there were some outstanding discussions that we had. Probably we'll request the minister, deputy minister, DG, and the team to respond to some of the issues that were not responded to earlier on. But I must also indicate that honorable Michelle spoke to the issue of the civil transport economic regulator, which in 2012 the then DG indicated that it's going to be implemented within 2 years. And we would urge you to say that it can't be that now in in our document it's supposed to be implemented in 2016. We would urge you to look into it, and probably may not be everything and everything in terms of the regulator that you are able to implement, but let's look at the other things that can also be implemented so that we don't talk and not be free to be implementing what we have sent ourselves to be doing. Because that was 3 years ago, to be precise, when DG Mashalela indicated in August that it's going to be implemented in 2 years' time, which was 2014 August. We would anticipate that gets implemented. But also, Minister, I would want to say that from the committee side, we really applaud. We know that it's still in a developmental stage, but I know it's not a concept, the fact that there's going to be a unit that will be able to oversee the state-owned enterprises. That, to us, the best thing that is really happening in the department, because you will no longer be a post office where money comes in and that goes out, but you will be able to be really hands-on in terms of the state-owned enterprises that are falling under your ambit, that you are able to monitor, evaluate the impact of these state-owned enterprises and the budget that you are allocating to these state-owned enterprises. And to us, that is really, really exciting. And we're looking forward that it gets implemented as speedily as is possible, because for sure, we will be able to see changes, we will be able to see things be coordinated properly. One member here said earlier on that we have SOEs now having their plans 2030, 2050, guided for what? Because the department, really, they're doing things on their own without necessarily the department saying, hey, hold on, this is where we're looking. And some of them don't even take a cue from some of the policy positions that the department is putting forward. They just do things as and when they come across to say, these are the things that we'd like to have. But also, having said, spoken to issues of basic education, Department of Public Enterprises has also, the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises has also said that they would want to talk to us on issues of Transnet and TRASA, so that we can be able to see how they can be able to maximize the utilization of resources towards one vision. But we are also concerned to say TRASA would want to see things moving, particularly in terms of rural infrastructure development, where we'd like to see the trains going into the rural areas, branches that actually are now to be revitalized by Transnet. It definitely is a challenge. We cannot be, we can't defy what the ruling party has said, because I was quoting from the manifesto of the ruling party. If you look at it, the first paragraph speaks to making sure that we revitalize the rail, we revitalize the pipelines and any other thing that can be able to assist to ease off the massive freight from the roads. These are the things that to me are the bottom line that we should be able to say, Transnet, how do we make sure that we have those to change a rail that is going to the rural areas. And we can only do that if we start talking to one another. That is another agenda item that we are having when we come back between a portfolio committee on public enterprises, Transnet and trust. But at the same time, public enterprises are also complaining that Transnet is saying they can be able to do certain things that Prada is outsourcing. So we need to clear these things because the more we are talking in our own corridors, the more we are working in silos, the more we will not be able to achieve the agenda of moving South Africa forward. Minister, we will get responses from your team. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think starting from the points that were made by Mayor Bushian with regard to the quality of the plan and how the outcomes have been reflected, I just want to say that we will beg your indulgence as a portfolio committee. We have a new director general who arrived at the time when the plans were already accepted and almost at the final stages. I would actually say at the final stages, because for us to have been able to table by the 11th would have meant that it was only 10 days or less, a week in the office. So we in the discussion that we had with the DG, we thought that it is important that he studies this document thoroughly. He be given an opportunity to review and be able to make sure that where there's a need for adjustment, we can then be able to do it. The DG needs to be doing capacity analysis and capacity and risk analysis. And I would believe that the work that he needs to do with regard to this matter is already started thinking through and conceptualizing it. He also needs to do what we call medical, the competency test and to matching and placing people according to the capacity and qualification. Because it is important, the issues that Mabushelo is raising actually goes to the point that I raised earlier on about the capacity of the department to deliver. Because it is important that as a ministry and as a department, we analyze our ability and be able to work with the portfolio committee to get the necessary resources that could help us to get to a stage where we can proudly deliver on behalf of the people of South Africa and to the people of South Africa. But also in the competency test and assessment, there's always, and I'm sure we are at about 38% of the way, there is a need for upskilling and building of a capacity within the department that we have identified. I'll make an example. And the Deputy Minister has a delegated responsibility over maritime. What we picked up in this process is that in maritime branch of the Department of Transport, we don't have maritime skills. And we cannot have the confidence that people will pick up the skills as they go. This is a very important branch as we speak, in fact, especially in view of the President's drive through Operation Fagisa for marine transport and manufacturing. So we can't take chances. We need to bring in people that are capacitated to do the work. Those who were in the branch would actually tell you that we ended up being there because probably in other areas it was used as a pool. Where when you don't know what to do is what to do with a particular officer, then they get shipped off to maritime. So we are busy correcting that, and we believe that with the type of focus the Deputy Minister is giving to this particular branch, we will be able to get to the point where we can safely say through the efforts, and she has been able to visit the World Maritime University in Sweden, and there's also the grant to make it possible that we have a branch of the World Maritime University here in South Africa, working together with the University of King Nelson Mandela, a university in this thing. It is one university that has identified maritime as one of its core areas to look into. Chairperson, I would believe that some of these things are very important for us to do. In fact, I just want to indicate, going back to the issue of the capacity, we've got a very serious challenge in our internal audit unit, which is also not a very stable unit, because we've had several recognitions, and we even had a something that I picked up very late, where people indicated in an opportunity I had to do an exit interview of one of the people who was leaving, and actually tell me what is the reason for leaving. He said, I'm here for my life. Mm-hmm. So if you have an internal audit unit where people are here for their life, it means already you've got a particular challenge to be able to deal with. So I believe that we need to look into these particular issues and be able to address them. The other things, let me just go to the questions. And the terminology, you seem to be having a soft spot for the FTA, No, but I think it's important, and I'm sure the committee is aware about the permit and all the tariff litigation matter before this particular MC, and our worry is if the case goes the other way, what would then happen? We're looking at scenarios of if it goes that way, what would then happen? If it goes the other way, what it would happen? So it is important and appreciative of the portfolio committee to note the resource constraints that our entities have. Honorable debaters, the issues that you are raising, I need to indicate to you that we do have a very good working relationship between ourselves and DPE, and the Department of Transport, the policy, and DPE as the oversight in the business enterprise area shareholder department. So I would believe that the questions that you have raised, we will be able to address them. We do have an understanding that we need to meet from time to time as the two. We have already, through the started engaging with regards to the General Transport Economic Regulator. We have started engaging and even have an MOU with regards to the Interim Rail Economic Regulator. So the issues we are raising, Minister of Public Enterprise also was upfront to raise them as a concern to say we have got this particular challenge. But we should not portray the issue, and I believe that the point raised by the chairperson is actually especially the unit that we would want to create for oversight over our SOEs. It will not only be our own internal SOEs, but those SOEs that we also carry out our mandates together with. Yeah. And I'm happy to indicate that we have launched the National Transport Planning Forum, which is constituted by provinces, SALGA, and the other transport entities, like most of the infrastructure related entities, including Transnet and PRASA being part of it. So it means integrated planning will actually help us eliminate these challenges that the portfolio committee have identified. So let us give the National Transport Planning Forum an opportunity to work and identify some of these particular challenges so that we can iron them out. But for now, we believe that the implementation of the Presidential Review Commission on SOEs and companies will also help us deal with this particular matter. It is a matter that is serving before Cabinet very soon. I think I need to just report to the portfolio committee here. We've got two areas of big challenge and a headache for myself and the Deputy Minister. And it is the issues related to e-native and the driving license card arrangement. And both these two matters are matters that on a daily basis, I would say, get department fees with a legal processes, either in the court or responding to the court and all those particular matters. The driving license part one was before the Supreme Court of Appeal on the 19th of February, and we are awaiting the outcome. I haven't had the latest with regards to that. But also, the e-natives one, it's actually something that I would say a welcome to me in the department, because that is something that when I arrived in the department, it was a matter of a court judgment. And Chairperson, this matter is something that we would have to really deal with you, especially myself, this minister, and yourself, with regard to how do we process this particular matter going forward. Because these areas, you had a situation where a contract expired but was extended. And the specs will change, and all those sort of things in this particular case. I would want to report to the portfolio committee that myself and the deputy minister went to lay charges at Moroka police station, because the meeting was held in Soweto, so we thought that was the easiest. We could go to the nearest police station. Once you get to know about something and you don't do anything about it, you are equally guilty. So we went to the police station and laid charges. And I would want to indicate fraud and corruption. And I would want to say to you, I'm happy that the case has been transferred to Pretoria. We have been informed, and the police commissioner over the weekend at the funeral informed me that they are ready to engage us with regard to this particular case. So I just thought that it is important that the portfolio committee is aware that in line with the key government priorities of dealing with crime and corruption, we had to act on a particular matter that we saw as a corrupt and fraudulent activity, and that is our commitment. And also, myself and the Deputy Minister are committed to make sure that we are working in an environment where we lead a department that is not having any cloud of corruption over it. Mm-hmm. And whenever it rears head, we'll act on it. And we are happy that last year in August, the President gave us a proclamation for the SIU to investigate these two particular matters. You know, it was a public issue, and we also went ahead to lay the charges so that the process can be accelerated. Thank you very much. We believe that with time and with the audits that the DG will do, we'll be able to present to the portfolio committee what is it that we're doing to make sure that we do have a capacitated department to deliver on the mandate of the people of the Republic of South Africa as espoused in the Freedom Charter that was adopted by our people on the 26th of June 1955. Many of those in the room were not yet born in Club Town. So it is important for us to remember that a mandate of people who some are underground right now, you cannot rescind, you cannot amend, and we need to implement. I'm happy that the NDP is actually enjoining us to implement the Freedom Charter. And it is important that we get to see to it that the people of South Africa do benefit from the services that we provide them as a government of the Republic of South Africa led by the African National Congress. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Are there still other issues that need to be responded to? Matara.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, the Director General and the colleagues. Now, I think there were quite a number of issues on public transport, but I'll just try to summarize them. Still wait. Admit it. I'll
2 minutes for you. I'm saying 5 minutes for this one.
Chairperson, I think the critical to almost all the questions and comments are the two issues, and fortunately coming out from the Honourable Members and from the committee. The one issue, the issue of concurrency, although it was indicated as why are you using concurrency when it suits you. The second issue is the issue around the advisors and not to be the budget card. The fact that you have experienced budget cards and I think nothing about it. And the second one is critical to almost all the things that were indicated in terms of how it's not implemented. But there was also a very strong view in terms of the hearing policies and we reviewed them while not yet even implemented them. I must indicate, and perhaps I must of necessity talk about public transport, but also in the department. There is no strategy or plan that we review that is not tested, and we would want to correct. Gap analysis, remedial access to fill in the gaps is part of the review. One, the very same public transport strategy of 2007, the 5-year strategy, and of necessity strategies mid-term you need to review to see if they work. For an example, we are implementing the RBTN in terms of that strategy. We have identified 12 cities. The 12 cities and the money that we get prevent us from going to rural area. We need to review that strategy to also talk to those kinds of areas. That's the first reason we go review. The second reason is we have so far tested the BRTs. There were spent close to 30 or so billion rand, and they covered very little ground. It is time to review that strategy we have adopted on BRTs. We are reducing the number of trucks and adding the number of feeders per seat. That is why we are doing the review of the strategy, because those things are written in the strategy and the action agenda, and you can only change them by way of review. The second and the other issue I wanted to just talk about. Thank you, Chairperson. I will skip to that. The National Land Transport Policy, finally, it is with the cabinet for consideration of the final policy. Hopefully it will come out having been approved, because now this time around the areas and concerns were around consultations, which were done widely. We were worked in partnership this time around, not only consulted, the Department of Basic Education. In the last portfolio committee meeting of basic education, we actually were co-presenters with the department. We believe that this time we found each other, but I think we can also therefore put on record that definitely the delays were not on our side, but on the other side. But I must also indicate in terms of the NLTA regulations of 2009, section 2, 4, 9, 10, and 11, talk to the minimum standards on the conveyance of children to school. It is very clear on the type of vehicle that can be used. It is very clear on the type of the trips that need to be undertaken. Those regulations have been passed instead of the National Land Transport Act of 2009. I think I am going to stop there, but also check. I think we just need to clarify. This process of strategic planning and APP was rigorous. It was not even left to officials in the strategic planning unit. And this time around, we engage even the AG to ensure that our documents are signed off. The issues around quarterly targets, of course, you'll find even an issue, not an issue like submitting a letter for signature. But we need to go to the annual target and look at it if it is marked. And we are happy to announce here that they have been signed off not only by our own internal processes, but by also the AG, using the tools, the same tool that they will use to come and audit us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. The meeting is getting completed. The minister had to go back to the summit, and she is given the slot to speak at 2 o'clock. DM, are there issues that have been left out? Deliver is there, the minister to speak so that she can leave. And on behalf of the department, we have the final word, DM. Oh, Mawet, are there other things that you want to speak to?
Yeah.
The leadership of the Democratic Alliance would want to leave now at 2 o'clock. And I've said to them it's fine, they can leave at 2 o'clock. So the ANC will remain and will... Yeah. Oh yes, the ANC and its baby EFF.
The ANC and other people.
DM, I saw Mr. Vidani wanting to say something. Mawet?
Just two issues. Thanks, Honourable Chair. Just two issues. And just to emphasize the point of Matsabata, but two issues are going to need on faith that are right. We are reviewing the statute because we need to follow a number of policies that we develop the strategies around the country, which is correct, as you said, Honorable Bashir, that we use the statute to inform a whole number of policies. The thing is good enough because the information there you know around 2003. But the second one was the issue around the former DG. The funding at the time was not there. National Trade had just given a funding to move, not necessarily to implement, because the society process was there. So those are just the two issues that have from the recent response.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us as the portfolio of the Department of Transport to present to you our 5-year stress plan and, of course, our performance. And I think the Minister has spoken. She asked for your indulgence to actually give opportunity to our DG to himself certify with the documents that are before you. Where there are witnesses, which are obvious, we will not hesitate to implement changes and will indeed be monitoring from our side as to what are the witnesses that are there in terms of implementation and so on and so forth. It's not about picking boxes, it's about rendering services to the people of South Africa. That's what I'm interested in. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think we have done a very good service. I must indicate that DM and the DG and the team transport, together with the portfolio committee, we see a massive improvement in terms of documentation that is brought to the weaknesses that are there. To me, I take it it is work in progress, which will definitely be improved. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for your 5 minutes extended to 10 minutes. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.